Romans chapter 13. That's what we like to take a look at. Many questions come out of this chapter. Many common everyday concerns, especially for you and me who live in a country where we have freedom. Now, not many left, but there are still some. So we begin just this way. Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul," that would include you and me, Christians, "be subject or submitted to the higher powers." Now, if you were a New Age individual, instantly the higher powers, you'd be thinking your inner guides, you know, your higher selves, those ascended masters. No, higher powers here are the authorities that God has placed above us. The government, whether it be city, county, state, federal, or whatever it might be. Those are the higher authorities. So let every soul be submitted or subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, you'd be amazed at how many Christians say, no, they don't use that word. They go, no. But they mean no. That's what that word means. You see, Paul writes this in a day when the government of the known world was completely corrupt. Completely. No questions. Everybody knew it. The government that ruled over the known world, the Roman Empire, they were absolutely corrupt. You have seen nothing by living in this country. Nothing compared to what the government was like in the days that Paul penned these words. So we don't have it rougher than they had it, or than anybody has ever had it. We just are different kind of critters a lot of times. And this was also written at a time when abortion was a common, everyday practice. That's when Paul wrote this. Everybody, and I mean everybody, without fail, understood the corruption of the Roman government. All people knew legally abortion upon demand was the thing, every day. And of course, it was at a time when morality had almost become a forgotten issue. It was a forgotten issue. There was no morality. It was immorality through and through. That's what the Roman Empire was all about. So when Paul writes this, he is writing it to Christians, and it's to me and to you. And he says something that is a little difficult for us to grasp. He says, "Let every soul be submitted to the higher powers, for there is no power except God gives it. And the powers that be are ordained by God." God knows what he's doing. Don't think he doesn't. God has a time schedule. It may not match yours, but he knows what he is doing. And so, bottom line, Christians should be law-abiding citizens. Like it or not, that's what the Bible teaches. "Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation," judgment. Also, if you'd like to take note, Jesus tells his disciples to do the same thing. He even says, goes as far as to say, if someone compels you, which is an order, you're forced against your will. If someone compels you to go 1 mile, which was a military idea in that particular case, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, what should you do? You go with them 2. If someone should smite you on your right cheek, you would turn it off for your left. Notice that what we're learning is we are a spiritual organization, not a political organization. Think about it a second. What confuses most Americans is they have a right to have a say in what the government does. Now think about that. You have a right. Well, let me rephrase. That's a terrible word. You have the privilege of having a say in what the government does. Now, of course, all of us know that's probably not exactly true. But at least you feel better if you get a chance to speak your mind by saying, this is what I say. This is how I feel. This is what I say. So when there is a city meeting and the public is welcome, you can show up and say, this is how I feel about what you're saying. You have an opportunity to speak your mind, or you can vote on it, or you have an opportunity to go before the county commissioners and say, here is what I see. Here's what you've got that freedom. Now, the Romans, they didn't have that freedom, but you do. So don't take it for granted. Be a part of what's going on, but take note that you and I will be true Christians will be law-abiding citizens, even if we don't like the law. People say, should we do everything that the government tells us to do? No, God's word and God's law are higher than man-made words and laws. And so you read in the book of Acts, chapter 5, where the apostles are arrested and told not to preach publicly in the name of Jesus Christ ever again. What did Peter answer? And all the disciples were with him, but Peter spoke and said this. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Notice, the issue was not a political issue. The issue was a spiritual issue. And at that point, Peter says, no, wait a minute. We have been commanded to do this very thing, and so therefore we will do it. So yes, there are times, and you can look back through world history and see the times when Christians have disobeyed the laws of the land. For instance, when you are told to love your neighbor and to care for those who are suffering, and then Germany puts out a law that says no one can help a Jew, you saw Christians not take a political stand, but you saw Christians take a spiritual stand and say, we will help because this is what the Lord our God tells us to do. At that point, you're going directly against the law. And of course, if you do, there's a price to pay. Understand that. But we're talking spiritual issues, not political issues. Oh, how the church wants to become a political machine, wants to become a political force. Christians, we have the privilege of speaking our mind. Still, at this point, how long that will last, I don't know. But remember, we are into the spiritual, not into the political. That's not what the church drives. Think about it and keep those things in mind. The issue that Peter's talking about here, saying we should obey God rather than men, that's a spiritual issue. When someone tells you that you can't pray, you automatically know. Wait a minute. That's a spiritual issue. Now, if your boss says, you know, while you are working on this assembly line, I don't want you reading your Bible because, first of all, you're robbing from your employer. You should be working here. Second of all, it could hurt someone else if you're not paying attention. Well, you see, at that point, someone says, well, should I go ahead and read my Bible? No, I would say you obey that higher authority and you read your Bible on your break time. And you think about that now because there are political issues. And there are spiritual issues here that are going on. And that's what he's telling you. For rulers, they are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Well, then do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. I'm telling you, he said that at a time when Rome ruled the world. Nero was always fiddling around. You know that. He was not sane. The man at the top was out of control. Yet, Christians should still remain law-abiding citizens. You know, he says you shouldn't be afraid. Rulers are not a terror to good works. When you're keeping the law, you don't really worry that something's going to happen to you, except in rare cases. He says, if you'd like to not be afraid of the power, then do that which is good. you shall have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. Now, how many times have you thought of an authority, local or otherwise, how many times have you thought of them as a minister of God? When that policeman pulls you over, says, I'd like to see your driver's license and your registration and your insurance, please. How many times have you stopped and very politely dealt with him because, or her, because you knew this is a minister of God. This is a servant of God right here. God has placed them in a position to where their responsibility is to help enforce the law for traffic safety or for whatever reason there's going to be. Do you ever think that way? Or do you look at them and say, hey, I write your paycheck, man. Hey, don't you have any, aren't there real criminals you could be taking care of? Or when you go to a city council meeting and you get a chance to speak, do you speak with respect to the authority there, or do you to speak your mind and call them names and do you handle it all wrongly? No, you got to understand, he is the minister or she is the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, you should be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. In other words, you can see a policeman or a highway patrolman or whatever, and you see bank robbers coming out of a bank, and there could actually be gunfire. Because you see, they're not carrying that sword, those weapons, in vain. Those weapons are there to defend and to protect and to serve the public. They're ministers of God. God placed government over peoples. Or you would have anarchy. You would have no, it would be bizarre. So God himself set it up. He set up the family. He set up governments. And he set up the church. Those are things God himself instituted. And he says, you know, you should be afraid if you do that which is evil. For he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. See, if there were nobody out there doing that, what do you think the crime would be like in your community? What do you think the crime would be like in your state, in your country? If there were no one on the streets to serve and to defend and to protect, what would it be like? You say it's terrible. Then can you imagine if there were nobody there? They are ministers of God. God set that up so that you would not have total anarchy. So you and I become law-abiding citizens. Well, of course, you knew this. He says, wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, knowing that you and I are Christians and we should obey. And it was John Corson, I believe, who was pulled over by a policeman because he has a tendency to speed in that Volkswagen of his. The policeman pulled him over and said, may I see your driver's license? And as the policeman ran the ID, came back to the car and handed him his license and said, aren't you a minister in town? And John said, yes, I am. And as a matter of fact, so are you, officer. You're a minister of God. That's what the book of Romans says. And it's true. Interesting, huh? He still got the ticket, but that's all right. Support the community, you know. And for this cause, verse 6, pay taxes. That's what it says, isn't it? Didn't you wish that wasn't there? The guy says to me, he says, I'm only up here visiting for a couple of weeks. I thought you were going to do Romans chapter 13 this week. I said, no, we're still in 12. He goes, oh man, I got a tax bill due and I wanted to see what you had to say about it in Romans 13. I told him, we'll pay it. Oh yeah, but, and then he went off. How it wasn't fair, it wasn't right. For this cause pay ye taxes also, for they are God's ministers attending continually, upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Tribute, that's tax, to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Should we pay taxes? The answer is absolutely yes. Now that's just the way it's going to be. Jesus himself paid taxes. Everyone had to pay taxes to the Roman government. They didn't like the way the money was being spent. It was being spent on some pornography. It was being spent on some really garbage stuff. But the responsibility to pay it fell to the individuals. And Jesus said, you give to Caesar what is due Caesar. Now in this country, you have an opportunity to get out of paying some taxes. The government has made a way for you to do it. When you fill out forms, they say, now, here's the tax you owe. Now, if you could get this tax break, if you will do this, you can do that. In other words, there are ways to not pay every penny you make. And since it's legal and God has allowed it there, go for it. But when it's time to pay, and it is ours to pay, we need to pay it. Once we've gotten every bit that we could out of them, when it's time to go ahead and pay it and do those things. You know, the next time you're driving down the smooth freeway, you can, every time you stop and get gas and fill your tank, you can thank the Lord. Well, the gas is a little high, but the truth is, thank you that the freeway is much smoother than it used to be. And they're working on it, because at least you can see the money, some of it is going somewhere. If that doesn't make you feel better, pay it anyway. Or don't get gas. I mean, there are your two choices. Those are easy. Somebody said to me once, you know, because believe me when I tell you, there are a lot of things I don't like about the government, and some of the things it does I don't agree with. And if anybody has an opportunity or opinion on that, I got one. But the truth is, somebody says to me, well, you know, if you can do this and you can do that, you don't even have to get a driver's license. You never have to have a social security number. You never have. And I think, man, rest. You're working so hard to get out of paying one more penny. You know, you need to give Caesar what's due Caesar. You give God what's due God. God wants your heart. And if he's given you anything, he wants first fruits of that anything. For this cause, pay you tribute. But you notice, it doesn't stop there. Render therefore to all their due. He says, tribute, taxes to whom taxes due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, he's talking about honor and respect. Fear would be reverence or respect. You know, you respect someone not because they deserve it many times. You respect someone because that's what you should do as a Christian, as an honest citizen. You're going to respect them. When I was in the military, we were taught that you salute certain uniforms, certain ranks. Now, you may not have respected the woman in that uniform or the man in it, but that didn't even come into play. If that uniform or that rank came into the area, you would salute out of respect for that position. That's what you did. A good military person would do that out of respect. A Christian is going to do the same thing. Maybe there are political figures that you don't agree with, you disagree with. As a matter of fact, you vehemently disagree. But if they came into the room, you would still show respect for the position. Maybe you think the judge isn't honest in this case, but when you go into the courtroom, you still show respect in his courtroom or her courtroom, don't you? And you should, because you are giving honor to whom honor is due. They didn't deserve it, maybe. They didn't earn it, maybe. But they are in the position, and because of the position, you and I are going to respect it. And we're losing that in the United States of America. We don't respect anything anymore. But Christians ought to. And that's what he's telling us. And then, possibly one of the most quoted verses in the entire Bible besides John 11:35, which is Jesus wept, because that's what everybody can remember. Owe no man anything. Whew. But to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't say what you think. But, it's quoted that way. Some people use it as a condemnation against capitalism. It is not a condemnation against capitalism. As a matter of fact, Jesus used some capitalistic proverbs. One of them including interest. At least you could have put, instead of burying it in the backyard, you could have put it in the bank and gotten some interest out of it. Capitalist. It's not a statement against credit cards. It is not a statement against mortgages. It is not a statement against any type of loan. But that's how Christians try to use it. It is not a statement against any of those things. Those are not a sin. It's not what it says. Let me use an example to show you what the language means. When you rent a place to live, now most of you probably own, but if you rent a place, you do not own that place, that home. You don't own it. And you don't owe anything on that home. It is not yours to deal with in any way at all, is it? You are literally renting it from someone else. They own it, and they owe on it, probably. And so you are renting. Is it a sin to rent? No. But the language says this. You simply owe the agreed amount of money to use the house every month. On the day that the rent is due, this language specifically says you should pay what you owe. You should owe no man nothing. In other words, if I borrow your lawnmower, I should give it back to you. I shouldn't owe you a thing. If I'm renting a house from you, I should, whatever we agree on each month, I should give that to you and owe no man nothing. That's what the language means. You should pay faithfully each time it's due. That's what a Christian should do, owing no man anything. You know, it's the same thing if you take out a loan for a home, a mortgage, or for a car, or for a vacation, or whatever you might take out a loan for. You see, you don't. When you take a loan for $1,000, what do you owe? If you think about it at its baseline, when you take out a loan for $1,000, you owe the interest. You give the $1,000 back because that's what you borrowed, but you owe the interest, don't you? That's what it boils down to. And so what the Bible tells you is you pay what you owe. Owe no man anything. It literally means don't continue to owe. Make sure that you're there and you're doing what's right. It is not a condemnation of any sort of capitalism like people teach. It simply means pay anything that you owe. Easy to understand, isn't it? Surely misunderstood. But you should love one another. You ought to owe people love. You know what love basically, you know what he's saying here? Love means giving when nothing is due. Does that make sense? Love, we owe. He says you should owe no man anything. If I have an agreement with you for rent, I should every month be right there, right there. If you give me 3-day period, sometime within that 3-day, I give to you. So that now I don't owe you. But there's something I should consider owing you and never be able to come out of it. And that is love. Love means giving when nothing is due. Or maybe giving, if you like, when the opposite is due. Giving something. For this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, or takes in all of this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You're going to be giving when nothing is due. That if you're doing that, you're fulfilling the commandments, he says. Because see, love works no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He says, put it all together. Here's the way you ought to be as a citizen of your community. Here's the way you ought to be in your business dealings, in your personal life with your finances. Here's the way you should be as a true Christian. And always loving anyone, he says. And then verse 11 is called the Christian alarm clock. Because it says that we are to wake up out of sleep. Get up, get moving. It's time to get going, Christian. This is a wake-up call to all of us. And it's been there, and that's the alarm clock for the Christian. For the church, some people say. But I like to say for the individual, for the Christian. Verse 11. Knowing that the time, it is now high time to wake up out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed or when we first believed. Salvation is, Jesus is coming soon. We ought to get up, get with it in our lives. And he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Remember when Jesus said, I work while it's day, and then he left. So you say, what is the night? We're in it right now. The day is coming back again. The light's coming back again. We're living in a dark time. Well, you know, think about what you know about night. What you know about night is when it happens around here, the sun, as the earth spins, the sun is out of sight now. And so it gets dark around here, doesn't it? But when there when it's depending upon what position the moon is in and et cetera and all those things, then the moon is going to reflect the light, isn't it? And so even though it's dark, yet you can go outside and see sometimes really brightly because the moon is shining so brightly. But the moon doesn't shine. What does it do? It reflects the sun is what it does. It reflects the light of the sun. So Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then what did he do? He rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven. And so the light went to heaven. Well, then, is the world in complete darkness? No. Why? Because you are the light of the world. You're like the moon. You reflect the light of the sun. You and I, all around the world is not pitch black because you're there and you are reflecting the light of the sun. So it's time to wake up and be a good moon. I don't want to say it the way I'm thinking it, but you know. And reflect the light of the sun. The armor of light. Jesus is the light of the world. You and I reflect Jesus. And he says, it's time to get up and get moving. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, orgies and parties and garbage, not in strife and in envying, jealousy, always wanting something better, always wanting something else, never happy with the way it is. If somebody loved me better, if I had one of those, if I could get this, maybe if I could just be over here, or maybe if only, man, how miserable to always not be comfortable and just happy with what's going on. Always someday, something else, somewhere over the rainbow. And that's where everybody seems to want to live anymore. I wish it would change. Instead, we should be walking honestly just as in the day. And he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier he says the armor of light. Jesus is the light of the world. Put on Jesus. Walk in the power of Jesus Christ. Be good citizens for the glory of God. If you owe, pay. Don't owe any man. Don't continue owing. Pay what you owe. Be honest on it. If it's for 2 years, pay it. Be there. Be faithful. Trust in the Lord. Some people say, well, I have problems with that because I owe more than I have. Well, you know, there are ways around that. There are ways around that. But until you can work those out with budgets and all those things, you need to be faithful. You need to be honest. Sometimes that doesn't include missing a meal or two. I mean, I've seen that in my life. Have you seen it in yours? Just to do this or that. All of us have room for improvement when it comes to these things. Notice in every area we've talked about in chapter 13, but now he says we need to walk honestly. Honestly. As we're walking in the bright sunshine daylight for everybody to see. Not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantingness. Not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not make provision for the flesh. Now, if you have trouble with alcohol, don't hang around the bar. Just don't go there. Because what you're doing is he's saying, don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Don't go about making plans to do it. Now, somebody said to me, and I thought it was wise, a couple of people so far have said, you know, there's a car show that goes on here. And I asked someone, did you go? And a couple of people said this, no, I don't go. I don't go to that. Why? Is it a sin? No. But you know, I start looking at these cars. And you know, and there I go. I'm going to have to get one of those and have to have, oh, if I had this, it would be there. And here we go. So the person says, you know, a couple of people this morning said, I don't go. Smart, huh? You think, oh, come on, it's just cars. Hey, I like it. Make no provision for the flesh. I stay out of music stores. You stay away from cars. Some of you stay away from whatever you stay away from, electronic shops. Some of you are mechanics, and you have to buy pieces even when there's nothing to put those pieces on. So you have to stay away from parts stores. I don't have that problem. I can go in a parts store and I don't panic. I don't breathe heavy or nothing. I'm just fine. But for some of you, I know. Some of you are web freaks. You know, if you'd like to read, is it Psalm 25? He plucked my feet out of the net. It's for you. The Lord could even do that. For others, they have no problem with it, but for you, that's why they call it a web. You get stuck in it, don't you? We want to live so that we make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We want to put on the light, the armor of light. We want to put on Jesus Christ. We want to be honest. We want to be faithful. We want to do what's right and what's just. When it comes to issues where God's words has spoken directly, we want to do what God's word says. Now, I'm going to step out here and hang myself probably. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God's word says that you ought to read your Bible, and somebody in your home says, we won't allow Bibles here, you got a tough decision to make. Because I'm going to tell you what you ought to do, you already know. You ought to still read your Bible. So you think about that. That's a spiritual issue. I have people telling me, well, I'm not allowed to read my Bible at home. You got a couple of choices. Either work that thing out or get another home. Because wherever you are a Christian and you need to read your Bible, period. See? I just hung myself, didn't I? When someone tells you to disobey God or tells you to do something that is out of God's will, you are not going to submit to them. You're not going to do what's out of God's will. You're going to say no. Do you hear that? You think about that. That means taking a stand. Just like Peter said. Peter said it, and I'll read it to you again. It's Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's what we're all about. Spiritual things. Doing the things our Father has called us to do. Doing them in love. Loving others. What is love? I wrote it down here again. It means giving when nothing is due. Many times giving the opposite of what you've gotten. When maybe someone has spit in your face, instead you're going to turn around and you're going to love. Giving the opposite of what you've been given. But giving when nothing is due, that's love. Be honest in all these things. Be good citizens. That's Paul's encouragement to the Romans, to the Christians. And they lived under a difficult government and a difficult time when immorality was what everybody was into. The Christians were to reflect the light of Jesus Christ there. But the day is coming soon. Jesus Christ is returning. Till then, pray for the strength, the courage, the gifts, the abilities to walk in this life to bring glory to the Lord.